Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're here on this beautiful sixth Sunday of Easter. The weather is warming up, and we've had some rain showers, and now we also have the bishop with us. Bishop, welcome.
Thank you, Deacon Louis. It's good to be with you and good to be with all of our listeners. Good morning to you.
And Vicki Cessna is also with us. Vicki, welcome.
Thank you.
And this is the sixth Sunday of Easter. And just a reminder for anyone who's interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can visit the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. And we're going to read the readings. Now, of course, this is basically just half of what the Mass is, because this is Liturgy of the Word. So we discuss Liturgy of the Word, the readings that are at Mass this Sunday, today, and also Bishop will give a little homily on some of his thoughts on the Scriptures, and we try to do this the first Sunday of each month. Now, it all depends on the Bishop's schedule, but we try to do that, so try to mark your calendar to tune in, and of course, if you want to listen to any of the old programs, any of the other programs that we've done with the bishop or just our regular weekly program, you can go to holyfamilyradio.net and they are on there. So we're going to get started right into the Acts of the Apostles, which is our first reading. This is Acts 10, 25 through 26, and then 34 through 35, and then 44 through 48. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, paid him homage. Peter, however, raised him up, saying, "Get up, I myself am also a human being." Then Peter proceeded to speak and said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." While Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were also astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit, even as we have?" He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's responsorial psalm is, "The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power."
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand has won victory for him, his holy arm.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
The Lord has made his salvation known. In the sight of the nations he has revealed his justice. He has remembered his kindness and his faithfulness toward the house of Israel.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
Our second reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And today's gospel is taken from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, the 9th to the 17th verses. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, So I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you. Love one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings, Bishop. And thank you for reading that Gospel.
Yes. And, you know, these are powerful readings. This is still Easter, you know. It's starting to look a little bit like springtime outside. It's starting to feel a lot more like springtime. But it has been the spring season, of course, for a number of weeks now. But it's only recently come to be evident around us, so we can see it and feel it. But throughout this whole season, of course, we've been celebrating Easter. And Easter is that springtime of the church's liturgical year. It's that time that we celebrate the new life of Jesus. It's the time that we celebrate how we come to share more deeply in that life of Christ. So it's a happy, hope-filled time of the year, and the readings reflect that. Particularly, I think this gospel passage, you know, and I think it's always good to kind of stop and take a step back and realize that even though we're now the sixth Sunday of Easter, that this is from the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was taking place at the Last Supper. So even though we're in the Easter mode, this reading, this passage from the Gospel, comes from before, the night before, Jesus would enter into his extreme passion, suffering, his death, his burial that would take place within hours. Mm. And yet, what is Jesus focused on, you know, in these hours before his own death? Reassuring his apostles, trying to keep them calm, secure, reassured. And so when we listen to these words, I just think it's important always to remember the beautiful words to listen to. Just pick them up and read them.
Yes.
But when we remember what the context was, what Jesus himself was about to go through, and the strength that is communicated here, not only Jesus' his own strength and his conviction that came from his absolute conviction of who he was in his relationship with the Father. And that's what he was trying to reassure, remind, reconvict his own apostles, that they needed to stay convinced that nothing was going to break that relationship, even what they would see happen in just hours, when Jesus would be betrayed and go through his suffering, his terrible, cruel torture, to see him die and to be buried.
Yes.
And, you know, Jesus knew what they were about to experience. So that aside, Jesus speaks those same words to us, and here we are, you know, 2,000 years removed from that event. And yet it's with the same purpose that Jesus, mm-hmm. that we read these words of Jesus, to reassure us, each of us, and whoever's listening today, because Jesus knows our situations. Mm. Jesus knows our circumstances. He knows what it is that we're all, what each of us is going through, whoever's listening to these words, and wants to do the same thing for us today on this sixth Sunday of Easter as he wanted to do for the apostles, to just remind them, convince them, reassure them. And so how many times does Jesus in that short passage say, remain in my love? Don't let anything shake your confidence right here. You know, so as the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. You will remain in my love if you keep my commandments.
Yes.
And just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. It's that, it's much more than a pep talk. It's a love talk.
Yes.
It's a friend talk, you know, because Jesus goes on in this passage to say, you know, we're not talking about slave and master here. We're talking about friends.
Right.
And what does a friend do? A friend is going to lay down his life, you know, for the one he loves. And that's what Jesus did for us. And so he says, I call you friends. And that's what a friend does.
Amen. And how important it is for us to stay connected, just like last week with the vine, you know, staying connected, not isolating, not I'm on my own, you know. And sometimes we get that, you know, we think, well, I can do better on my own, or I can do better by myself, or I got all the ideas. But the one thing that the Catechism was pointing out, exactly what you're talking about, Bishop, which is it's this law of love, law of grace, and ultimately the law of freedom.
Sure.
This is how we gain freedom, by staying connected with God,
sure.
staying connected with the church.
Well, of course, Vicki read the beautiful second reading from John's first letter, and I mean, John is the apostle of love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a wonderful nickname to have. he's the one that's identified as the beloved
yes.
disciple. He's the one that during this Last Supper, you know, sat next to Jesus and leaned his head against his chest to say, you know, who is it that is about to be betraying?
Yes.
You know, there was a closeness there, and a deeper friendship perhaps than perhaps many of the other apostles. But John, who lived to be a ripe old age, as he was writing the gospel in his letters, never lost that passionate, real friendship love mm-hmm. for his master and for his friend, for Jesus. And so it's that beautiful passage that we hear even in that second reading that reminds us of the same thing. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us
mm-hmm.
and sent us his son as expiation for our sins. So sometimes I think we think, you know, well, we'll give God a break. We'll love him. You know, God said, hey, it's no skin off my nose.
Right.
You know, God has loved us first. And God's always going to love us. You know, it's, and hopefully our decision to love God in return is rooted in that sense of how much we're loved, even when we're not worthy of that love, even though we're sinful human beings.
Amen.
So,
in case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program, and my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're visiting with Bishop Paul Bradley, the Bishop of the Kalamazoo Diocese, as well as Vicki Cessna, who's the Director of Communications down here at the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And we're glad you're with us. We're discussing the readings that are being read at Mass this very day throughout the world at Catholic churches. So I want to turn to Vicki to see if Vicki has any thoughts on the scriptures or anything that might be going on in the diocese, something you want to let everybody know about, or not, or we can just continue on and the bishop can continue on.
I always enjoy the, John, of course, has a different style of writing, especially, and is much more literary and poetic than the other three Gospels. But I guess I was struck in the second reading that I read that in his from his letter that whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. And there's so much going on in the world that sometimes we have to kind of think to ourselves in order to be compassionate, even towards people who might do heinous or evil things. You know, they obviously must not know God, because God is love. And you can't be anything but the bearer of love. So I think that just gives us a little pause to have a little compassion and see the other side. And it's our job to make him known then to those who don't know him.
Amen. Absolutely. And to pray for those people, and to pray for those who, you know, maybe didn't grow up in as good of circumstances as, especially here in the United States, some people who don't experience any type of love in their lives. And of course, that can even happen here. That can even happen in Pope Francis likes to use that the thought of the children who grow up in the home, but they never see their parents. They have all of everything they would want. They have the Game Boys and the TV sets and the vacations, but they never see their parents. And so there's this real love, as you were talking about, Bishop. This real love is missing. This relationship with God, relationship with Jesus, is missing.
Well, it's you know, and I think you bring up a good point in terms of this month of May is well, obviously, you know, the Church calls our attention to our special devotion to our Blessed Mother, and when we talk about a love for Jesus, you know, even greater than St. John had was his mother. And you know, there are you know, some of our Christian brothers and sisters that perhaps have a little bit of a difficulty understanding why we as Catholics have such a strong and powerful devotion to our Blessed Mother. But because, you know, she is the greatest model for what it means to be a disciple. And if here we are, you know, each of us trying to do the best we can to be disciples of Jesus, to be followers of Jesus, to be people who love Jesus, and put that love for Jesus and our call to express that love for one another into practice, there's no one that we can look to that gives us a greater example of how to do that than Mary did. And so, and we're absolutely convinced that our Blessed Mother continues to have that role, just as she did, you know, her famous, I mean, there's not too many words recorded in the Gospels that Mary said following the Annunciation, following the time when the angel Gabriel came to her to ask, would you be willing to do this, to be the mother of the Son of the Most High? And her answer was, let it be done to me as you say. There aren't too many other words that are recorded that Mary says. But at Jesus' first miracle, and when she's the one that kind of nudges Jesus a little bit toward doing what she knew that only he could do to save this young couple at the wedding feast in Cana from embarrassment. It wasn't the most important miracle ever to be performed. It wasn't the greatest miracle perhaps ever to be performed. But Mary knew that Jesus could do something dramatic to help this couple. And even though he himself said to her, well, you know, this is really not my time, she just went to the waiters and said, whatever he does, whatever he tells you, you just go ahead and do that. Even if it doesn't make a lot of sense to you, just go ahead and do it, whatever he tells you. And I think that's the message that Mary continues to say to each of us. Whatever Jesus tells us, that's what we're supposed to do. and she continues to encourage us in that way. So, I mean, I think that this beautiful month of May, when there's so many other things that are going on, special events, special graduations, First Communions, Mother's Day, of course, coming up next week, all of that has something to do with this gospel, I think, that we're hearing today.
Absolutely.
And the passages that we've listened to in this beautiful month of May devoted to our Blessed Mother.
And I think in a beautiful way, too, just last week, with it being the Feast of St. Joseph, the Worker, and, of course, the earthly father of Jesus, I think it gives us this special attention to refocus back in on the family. What are we doing as a family? And, you know, a lot of people who have had hardships, unfortunately divorces and things like that, we want you to come back to the church. There is a place for you. There is a way for things to be reconciled. We want that to happen. There are pastors and deacons and bishops who are willing and ready to talk with you about the things that you have going on in your lives, but we need to come back together. We need to practice what John's talking about, what Jesus is talking about, which is love.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we could spend an entire program on Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation on the call to holiness, and maybe we can do that some other time. But, you know, I think one of the things, just to be aware of the fact that Pope Francis has written all of us a beautiful letter called Gaudete et Exultate, Rejoice and Be Glad, on the universal call to holiness. In other words, each of us is called to holiness universally. No exceptions.
No exceptions.
All of us. Not just bishops, not just priests, not just the Pope, not just those that go off and live in monasteries, not just those that, do amazing heroic feats. All of us.
Not just Catholics.
And not just every one of us. If we're a follower of Jesus, we're called to a life of holiness. So, and I think that sometimes don't we misunderstand holiness to mean perfection. And so we can say, well, I can't be holy. You don't know me. I commit lots of sins. I make a lot of mistakes. I have divorce in my family. I have breakups. I have circumstances. Our families don't get along, or whatever the issues are. That's not what it means to be holy. I mean, of course, there's going to be those human situations, but Pope Francis defines holiness to say, it's for each of us to give witness to God's love wherever we are and in whatever our circumstances happen to be.
Amen.
You know? So that's a pretty good broad definition of holiness, just to give witness to God's love.
Amen. Vicki, any thoughts do you have on that, or Mother's Day?
Mother's Day, yeah. It's May 13th.
Yes, it is, next week.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people don't think they should read, or they don't read, perhaps, the Pope's letters. But this one in particular, that Bishop mentioned, the Rejoice and Be Glad, is one that he has purposely written in a language that's engaging, and a language that is less academic. And so he really is trying to get everyone to hear what a lot of what we just read is, that God loves you.
Yes.
And then with the holiness, even in the first, I think it's right in the beginning, he talks about how we're called to even a feminine holiness. And he starts talking about a lot of the saints, St. Catherine of Siena, some of the doctors of the church, and some of the saints who rose up as great examples.
Amen.
And gives a little shout out to the women, and I'm sure obviously Mary and the
Absolutely.
Mother of our church, so
it
all kind of comes full circle.
Yes, very nice. And I know Pope Francis has great devotion to Our Lady as well, but you're right, for us to look at those saints and modern day saints as well, you know, Mother Teresa, great example too. So,
yeah.
Bishop, any other thoughts that you have on the scriptures or anything
Well,
else?
I mean, the one thing that I thought was, I mean, this is going a little off topic
That's okay.
a bit, but the first reading As you know, during the Easter season, we listen to the Acts of the Apostles every Sunday. And I just am always amazed how many years have I been, you know, doing this over and over again, listening to the account of the early church that began with, you know, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, of course, that transformed them from these scared, wimpy, confused, fearful men. Even though they had already seen Jesus alive, they still hadn't been able to put it all together. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost that dramatically transformed them at the very depths of their being and sent them forth. Jesus had already given them the commission to go and teach and baptize to the ends of the earth, but they still hadn't done it. It was not until the Holy Spirit came upon them that gave them this incredible gift to be able to be powerful witnesses to the faith. So we see that in each of these Sunday readings from the Acts of the Apostles, and today's no exception as Peter stands up and preaches boldly, both to the Jewish converts as well as to the Gentiles. And I think, you know, it's important that we remember that that was the first great controversy in the church, because there were those that were Jews. I mean, Jesus was a Jew. The apostles were Jews. They believed that Jesus had intended this just for them.
Right.
And then the apostles started preaching to the Gentiles as well, who came to believe. And so the struggle became between the Gentiles and the Jews. But we're all Christians. So that's what led Paul eventually to write, there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free person. We're all baptized into Christ. And it's baptism that's the common denominator. It's baptism that makes us truly called to be holy people. It's baptism that gives us that universal command to be live lives of holiness. And so, you know, it all kind of comes together. Here we are with these readings that we listen to today. You know, we too, we're supposed to be those bold, courageous, passionate witnesses to Christ.
Yes.
And I guess my question that I ask myself, and we can all ask ourselves perhaps, is how are we doing with that?
Right.
You know, in what ways can we be stronger
right.
in our faith? Not just to practice our faith, come to Mass and listen to Scripture and pray. What witness, what evidence are we giving to the rest of the world to consider following Jesus in their lives?
Amen. And I think with Pentecost coming up here in the next couple of weeks, and of course, you know, the things that you have preached to these young people and older people at their confirmations and things like that, really telling them, you know, get on social media. You know, get on there. Talk to your friends. Talk to your neighbors about the church. Talk to your neighbors about Jesus. Because as society goes the way it is going right now, you know, you're going to have a lot of unbelievers and you're going to have Catholics.
Sure.
That's the way it's happening. It's kind of shaping out like that. Mm. So we just have about a minute left, Bishop. If you could give us your blessing, that would be awesome.
Well, sure. And I hope and pray that in these next couple of weeks of this beautiful month of May, that with all of the various important, wonderful events that are taking place, God's special blessing upon all mothers that are listening, God's special blessing upon all who are graduating. We ask God to help us all to be His faithful and joyful witnesses, and so that we can also go forth and proclaim the good news of God's love to all the world. And so we ask the blessing of Almighty God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to come upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Bradley.
You're welcome.
Thank you, and God bless you all.